Imagine a teenage boy, right? He just goes onto his phone looking for tips on how to build confidence at the gym.
A completely normal thing to search for.
Exactly. It's an entirely innocent search. He just, he wants to know how to properly do a bicep curl or maybe feel a little bit better about his posture. But according to the source material we're looking at today, it takes an algorithm less than 5 days to take that innocent search and basically turn his entire digital feed into this radicalized, deeply misogynistic echo chamber.
Yeah, it's a really sobering reality.
It is. Today, we're exploring the invisible machinery that's targeting young men and, well, why the adults in their lives usually have no idea it's happening until it's already deeply entrenched.
Right, because the digital environment the young boys are navigating right now, it operates completely out of sight from parents and educators, and the stakes for their psychological development are just remarkably high.
They really are. So our mission for this deep dive is to carefully unpack this this comprehensive 46-lesson educational course. It's created by an organization called HeySSL, and the course itself is titled Misled by the Manosphere.
Yeah, it's a very detailed source.
Extremely. And our goal today for you listening is to really understand the actual mechanics of how teenage boys are being pulled into certain extreme online spaces. We want to break down the mathematics and the business models of the algorithms doing the pulling, and I mean, most importantly, look at how we can safely and empathetically guide them out.
Right. And because this source material delves so deeply into the mechanics of these online ecosystems, we're going to be focusing heavily on the structural tactics used to capture and monetize these boys' attention.
Absolutely. Now, before we go any further, I do want to be incredibly clear with you, the listener, because this source material touches on highly politically sensitive topics, things like, feminism, modern gender dynamics, various online ideologies. Neither of us here are taking a political side.
Right, not at all.
We are simply acting as your objective guides today. We're impartially reporting the factual ideas, the data, and the methodologies strictly as they are contained within this provided educational course. Our job is just to walk you through the information HeySSL has presented.
Exactly. We are completely setting aside personal politics.
Right.
We're just focusing purely on the structural mechanisms outlined in the source and, of course, the welfare of the young men being targeted by those mechanisms.
Okay, let's unpack this. The source immediately frames the manosphere not as just like a single website you can block on your router.
Right, it's not that simple.
No, it's this vast interconnected network of overlapping online spaces. I mean, we're talking about a spectrum here. On the relatively mainstream end, you have these self-proclaimed alpha male dating coaches and financial hustle culture forums. But then on the extreme end, you have what are known as incel groups, which stands for involuntary celibates, where the ideology becomes highly toxic and rooted in this deep hostility toward women. And there's this current of red pill ideology flowing through all of it.
Which is basically this concept sold to boys, that they are suddenly waking up to a secret reality, right? This idea that society is inherently rigged against men.
Exactly. But before we look at the content itself, we really need to understand the vulnerability of the target. Like, why is a 16-year-old boy the perfect customer for this?
Well, the source emphasizes that these content creators are highly strategic. They are aiming at a very specific demographic that's experiencing a very specific volatile time in their psychological development.
Yeah, teenage boys are grappling with massive internal shifts. They're trying to forge an identity separate from their parents. They're dealing with, profound confusion about relationships and dating.
Oh, for sure.
And they have this deep-seated fear of rejection. And then layered on top of all that internal chaos is an immense, crushing societal pressure to be a man.
Right, that pressure is huge.
It is. Society demands that they be stoic, strong, self-reliant. But it rarely gives them a healthy outlet to process failure or insecurity or sadness. I mean, it's sort of like it's as if these boys are walking through a dense fog without a compass,
Yeah.
which is desperate for any adult to point them in the right direction.
What's fascinating here is how the influencers in the manosphere deliberately prey on that exact vacuum of support. They look into the camera and they offer these boys an illusion of profound empathy.
Wow, an illusion.
Right. They say, "I understand your pain. I see how hard you have it. And, it's not your fault."
Yeah, and the algorithm just acts like a digital funhouse mirror. A teenage boy walks into the digital world with a normal size insecurity. Maybe he's just nervous about talking to girls, or he didn't make the varsity team.
Which happens to everyone.
Exactly. But the algorithm instantly warps and magnifies that insecurity until it looks like this insurmountable systemic conspiracy against him. It takes his very human vulnerability and exploits it just to keep him scrolling.
Which brings us to the actual technology doing the exploiting.
Yeah.
Because, as you noted earlier with the gym search, boys do not usually go searching for harmful content.
Right. I was tracking with the source when it talked about those innocent entry points, you know, looking up gym motivation, gaming highlights, or basic confidence tips. That is completely benign.
It's totally normal behavior.
But I struggled initially to understand how a kid goes from watching fitness videos to adopting a radical ideology in just days. Like, how does the recommendation engine actually bridge that massive gap?
It comes down to how an algorithm fundamentally functions. Algorithms, they don't care about a user's values or their mental health or morality. They optimize for a single metric, which is watch time.
Because attention equals ad revenue.
Exactly. The system realizes that while a fitness video might hold a boy's attention for 3 minutes, a video that provokes anger or resentment might hold his attention for 10 minutes. So it actively bridges the gap using this really predictable four-step pipeline.
Okay, let's explore the mechanics of that pipeline. The first step is the entry point, so the fitness advice. But then the algorithm needs to increase engagement, so it nudges him to step two, which the source calls the frustration focus.
Right, because the math dictates that negative emotions are just stickier than positive ones.
Wow. So if a boy lingers for just a few extra seconds on a video where a creator is, like, complaining about how modern dating is unfair, the algorithm registers that engagement.
Mm-hmm. It starts feeding him more of it.
And it validates his insecurities by showing him 100 videos confirming that women only like bad guys, or nice guys always lose.
And that sheer volume is key.
Yeah.
You know, the algorithm surrounds him with this messaging until it feels like a universal consensus. From there, it transitions to step three, which is the blame shift.
This is where the gap is finally bridged, right?
Yes. The narrative actively turns against a specific target. The messaging shifts from dating is hard to feminism ruined relationships, or society is specifically designed to make you as a young man fail.
And once he accepts that blame shift, the algorithm locks him into step four, which is pure ideology. The boy is now completely isolated in this digital bubble where the prevailing truth is that men are the ultimate victims and women are the enemy. But wait, surely this process takes years to sink in, giving parents plenty of time to notice.
You would think so, but the speed of this pipeline is what catches parents entirely off guard. According to the source, this transition from fitness to extreme adversarial content can happen in under a week.
Under a week.
Yeah, sometimes within hours. Day one is a gym video, and by day five, healthier influences are completely drowned out.
Here's where it gets really interesting. And by interesting, I mean deeply calculating. The source highlights the business model driving this rapid radicalization. This isn't just some accidental byproduct of YouTube or TikTok's architecture.
No, not at all.
The influencers themselves intentionally manufacture this outrage to build a highly lucrative sales funnel. They literally profit from keeping boys insecure and isolated.
Right. The economics of it are entirely dependent on keeping the audience in a state of distress. They provoke fear and inadequacy, and then they position themselves as the sole saviors.
Which makes this entirely transactional. I mean, they draw these boys in with the free content on social media, and then they upsell them. They funnel the boys into private, paid subscription groups on platforms like Discord or Telegram.
And they sell them expensive alpha male boot camp courses.
Right.
Coaching packages, merchandise.
Exactly. And the source makes a really chilling point here. If these boys actually develop confidence, feel secure in themselves, and build healthy relationships in the real world, these creators lose their audience.
They go out of business.
Yes. The entire financial model relies on keeping boys angry and isolated. They are literally monetizing isolation.
That financial imperative is why the psychological hooks are so deeply embedded in the content. The creators have to ensure the boys don't leave the ecosystem.
Right. So they offer these boys conditional validation. They provide this ready-made identity, dividing the world into an in-group of enlightened men who see the truth and an out-group of weak men, often derisively called simps.
But that emotional support from the influencer is highly conditional.
Yeah, it demands absolute obedience to their worldview. It actively frames aggression, dominance, and emotional suppression as the only true forms of leadership.
And to maintain that grip, the creators have to sever the boys' ties to reality. and to anyone who might challenge this new worldview. They do this by establishing specific myths that weaponize a boy's genuine pain.
What really stood out to me in the source is exactly how these creators execute that manipulation. Like, they don't just invent problems out of thin air. They take a genuine issue and use it as a Trojan horse.
Right.
For example, they take the very real crisis of men's mental health. The creators tell these boys, society doesn't care about your struggles because feminism has silenced you. Feminism is the reason you're hurting.
But the deep irony that the source points out is that it's the creator's own toxic alpha rules that are the problem.
Yes. The relentless pressure to man up, to never show weakness, to be an emotionless provider, that is what actually forces these boys into silence. The Manosphere creators cause the silence with their rigid rules, and then they turn around and blame feminism for it.
It's a highly effective bait and switch. It gives the boy a target for his pain while keeping him locked in the very behavioral patterns that are causing the pain in the first place.
It's so insidious. The source details how they use this tactic across several different myths. I'd love to have you briefly walk us through some of the specific ones they debunk. Let's start with the narrative around false accusations.
Yeah, so the influencers convince these boys that they are in constant, imminent danger of having their lives ruined by women lying about harassment or assault. It creates this intense paranoia.
But when we look at the data provided by the course, false accusations are incredibly rare, statistically between 2 and 5%. That means 95 to 98% of reported cases are genuine.
Right. And furthermore, the source notes the statistical reality that a young man is far more likely to be physically assaulted by another man than to be falsely accused by a woman.
Wow.
The myth has absolutely no basis in daily reality, but it's weaponized to fuel a profound mistrust of women.
And that mistrust is further deepened by the myth that equality is a zero-sum game. The creators push the idea that feminism is inherently anti-men, and that any gain for women is an automatic loss for men. But again, the source counters this with broader sociological data.
Hmm.
In nations with stronger gender equality, men actually experience significantly better mental health outcomes and notably lower suicide rates. Equality isn't taking anything away from them. It actually relieves them of the crushing burden of having to be the sole dominant provider.
But the Manosphere insists that the rules of society changing means that men just can't win anymore. They tell them it's harder to be a man now.
Right. But the reality the source points to is that the rules aren't rigged. They're simply evolving. Society is dismantling the rigid, restrictive boxes of traditional gender roles.
And that evolution feels uncomfortable because it's a massive shift in expectations. But healthy masculinity is being redefined around respect, partnership, and empathy rather than pure dominance.
Exactly. And when boys are taught that dominance is the only way to be a man, they're also taught to protect that dominance at all costs, which leads to the final myth the source debunks. The idea that talking about harassment or calling out bad behavior makes all men look bad.
Right. The creators tell boys to protect the brotherhood.
Yeah, but the course is clear. Speaking up doesn't shame men. It separates the respectful men from the harmful ones. Silence is what allows predatory behavior to seem like a normal part of being a guy.
When you look at all these myths functioning together, you see a comprehensive system designed to build an impenetrable wall around the young man.
It's an incredibly sophisticated trap. I mean, you have vulnerable boys searching for a compass, attention-maximizing algorithms that mathematically prioritize outrage, a highly lucrative business model relying on their continued isolation, and this web of manipulative myths that makes them distrust anyone outside the bubble.
It's a perfect storm.
It really is. And because this radicalization happens entirely on a smartphone, on a personal curated digital feed, it creates a perfectly sealed environment. Parents, teachers, and coaches are completely locked out. The boy genuinely believes that what he's seeing on his screen is the universal truth of the world, not a targeted algorithmic feed. So if we can't see their screens, how do we know this is happening? What are the actual red flags?
Since the adults are locked out of the digital feed, the source advises listening very closely to the boy's verbal cues in the real world. It almost always manifests first as a distinct shift in vocabulary.
Yes, the warning signs in their language. The course lists the sudden use of dehumanizing terminology. Like, a major red flag is consistently referring to women as females in casual conversation.
Right, using it as a noun rather than an adjective.
Exactly, which subtly reduces women to their biology. You might also hear them start dividing the world into rigid hierarchies, obsessively categorizing people as alpha, beta, or high-value men.
You'll also notice blame-based adversarial narratives creeping into how they talk about their day. Phrases like, nice guys always finish last, or casual assertions that women have all the power in society now.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, they will simply regurgitate the scripts of the creators, quoting specific influencers like Andrew Tate or Sneeko verbatim.
If I'm a parent and I hear my son saying these things, if I'm driving my 16-year-old to practice and suddenly I hear him calling girls at his school females or talking about his friends as betas, my first thought is going to be this heavy, sickening feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, naturally.
I'm going to think, I raised him better than this. We taught him to respect women. What did I do wrong? How did I fail as a parent?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is vital to hear what the source definitively states regarding that exact feeling.
Mm.
This is not a parental failure.
That is a massive paradigm shift. It is so important to emphasize that point.
It is essential. The systems we're discussing today are highly engineered, intentional, and specifically designed by tech platforms and grifters to bypass parental influence entirely.
Right.
The source explicitly notes that boys from loving, stable, highly progressive homes fall into this trap just as easily as anyone else. This is not about bad parenting or neglectful home life. The algorithms do not care about the values instilled at the dinner table. They exploit universal teenage insecurities.
Which means we have to release that parental guilt if we want to actually be effective. We cannot operate from a place of defensive panic. And this brings us to the most critical, actionable part of this deep dive. Once a parent or a mentor spots these red flags, how do they actually intervene?
Right. How do you pull them back?
Exactly. How do you reach into that digital funhouse mirror and pull the boy out without shattering the relationship? Because the immediate instinct of any loving adult is going to be to confront them. The instinct is to say, turn that garbage off. That is toxic and you are not allowed to watch it.
And the source warns heavily against acting on that instinct. Panic, punishment, and shame are the absolute worst reactions you can have.
I really want to dig into the psychology of why shame is so dangerous here. Because to a parent, setting a firm boundary feels like the right move. But the source stresses that if you come in hot with judgment, you trigger immediate defensiveness. You have to remember, these influencers have already primed the boy.
Yes, they've anticipated the parent's reaction.
Exactly. They've told him, your parents won't understand you. The world is going to judge you for knowing the truth. So if a parent reacts with anger or shame, they are accidentally proving the influencer right. It validates the manosphere's narrative. It pushes the boy further into the echo chamber because that suddenly feels like the only place in the world he's accepted.
Precisely. You cannot debate a boy out of a position he was emotionally manipulated into. You have to approach it completely differently.
And the source provides a fantastic, heavily researched, four-step framework for talking to boys about this. The entire methodology is built on prioritizing curiosity over confrontation. Could you break down that progression for us?
I'd be happy to. The psychology behind it is brilliant because it's designed to slowly short-circuit that defensive programming and rebuild trust. Step one is simply general curiosity.
Okay, so very low pressure.
Extremely low pressure. Your only goal is to understand their digital world without analyzing it, judging it, or correcting it.
So you might just sit on the couch while they're scrolling and casually ask, that guy you're watching seems really intense. What do you like about his videos? You're not looking for a debate. You're just observing and letting them know you're interested in their world.
Right, which immediately lowers their defenses because they were expecting a lecture. Once those defenses are down, you can move to step two, which is focusing on emotions and pressure.
Meaning you look past the toxic content to the underlying feelings?
Exactly. You listen for his stress, his fears about dating, or his anxieties about the future, and you just validate those feelings. You say, it sounds like you feel a lot of pressure to figure all this out. You don't try to fix it, you just acknowledge the genuine pressure he's under.
I love that. And then, once he feels heard, we get to step three, views on relationships. This is where you gently begin to explore his newly formed beliefs without debating them.
Right. If he makes a generalized, sweeping statement about women, you still don't jump in to prove him wrong with statistics.
You listen to understand the architecture of his worldview. It helps you see exactly which myths the algorithm has fed him, so you know where the reframing needs to happen later.
And finally, step four is language and narratives. This is where you start noticing the patterns and helping him notice them too.
Yeah.
When he uses a buzzword like alpha or recite the manosphere script, instead of telling him he's brainwashed, you get deeply curious about the source of the idea.
You ask questions like, that's an interesting phrase. Where did you first hear that? Or why do you think that specific idea makes sense to you right now? Because the goal of all these steps isn't to force him to agree with you. It's to help the boy step back and reflect critically on his own media consumption.
You're modeling critical thinking rather than exerting authoritarian control. You're guiding him to dismantle the funhouse mirror himself rather than smashing it for him.
So what does this all mean? When we synthesize this entire strategy, it means our primary weapon against radicalization is asking gentle, probing questions. It means saying, "What makes you think that?" instead of, "You're wrong."
Right.
And crucially, the source points out that when we eventually do talk about concepts like equality or feminism with these boys, we have to find common ground. We have to completely reframe the conversation. We need to frame equality as something that frees men from the crushing, impossible pressure to be stoic, emotionless providers. We have to show them that equality isn't something that takes power away from them. It is something that gives them the permission to be fully human.
When a young man realizes that equality is actually for his benefit and not a system designed against him, he is far more likely to listen, drop his defenses, and step away from the adversarial mindset.
This has been an incredibly grounded, heavy, but necessary deep dive into the source material provided by HASSL. To pull all of these threads together, we have to first acknowledge the reality that teenage boys are uniquely psychologically vulnerable right now. They're searching for identity and facing immense societal pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We have to recognize that highly sophisticated algorithmic pipelines and profit-driven grifters are actively monetizing those fears. They are bridging the gap from fitness to misogyny to keep boys isolated because isolation is profitable. And finally, we have to realize that parental panic and shame will only isolate them further. Empathetic, curious, and patient conversation is the absolute only way to pull them back.
This raises an important question, which essentially serves as the source's core call to action. What do we do once we understand this machinery? The course stresses that change happens in small incremental steps.
Right.
You don't need to stage a grand dramatic intervention. The most vital start is simply sharing this knowledge. Talk to other parents. Share these insights with coaches and educators. Understanding the invisible mechanics of this algorithmic pipeline is the first necessary step in dismantling its power over young men.
And that leaves us with a profound final thought for you to take away from this deep dive. We've spent all our time today looking at how the internet preys on young men who feel they have nowhere to turn with their fears of failure, their relationship anxieties, and their fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
The online world has built an entire massive predatory infrastructure just waiting to catch them when they fall. It forces us to look at our own communities and ask, what are we doing in the real world to build physical offline spaces where boys are allowed to be vulnerable, unsure, and emotionally open? Are we giving them spaces where they can fail without losing their status as young men? Because the reality is clear. If we don't build those safe physical spaces for them in real life, the algorithm will always be waiting to build them online.